Morning all, my name is Brandon. I'm one of the pastors here at Legacy. It is a joy to be worshiping with you as we keep asking questions together. If you've spent any time with little children, you know just how many questions they ask. It is one of the ways they understand their world, much to the chagrin of some parents, answering question after question after question and needing a nap after that grilling. Between the ages of 2 and 5, children ask somewhere around 40,000 questions. So for all of you who have or work with toddlers and preschoolers and kindergartners, my hat is off to you for your patience, your wisdom, and your creative answers to the questions that they ask. Asking questions is how we learn. It's how we understand our world, each other, and how we grow in our relationship with God. We see this in Jesus's childhood with the one story we have about him at age 12. His parents lose track of Jesus returning from a festival because they assumed, as was the custom, he was just traveling with some other friends or family members. They had to go back to find where their almost teenager had gone. 3 days later, they finally discovered him in the temple, sitting among the religious leaders, listening to them and asking questions. All who heard him were amazed at his understanding and his answers. Jesus knew the power of asking questions for us to grow, to connect with each other and with God. Today's question, is the world coming to an end? I guess the majority of us have asked this question sometime in the last year. A global pandemic upends everything. And we wonder if this is it. We're tired of masks and we're tired of people that we love getting sick. We're tired of the divide and the polarization in our country. Our anxiety is through the roof. We see violence and suffering in our corner of the world and in other parts of the planet. There's so much pain and hurt and loss, we think this must be it. We ask this question because we genuinely wonder if normal is coming back. Or will things just be new, not normal, and we need to adjust? Or if the world is really going to end? As we take a breath and a beat and a step back, we remember there has been violence, polarization, sickness, and pandemics before us. It does not necessarily mean the end is at hand. Here's a family during the Spanish flu outbreak in the U.S. from 1918 to 1920, more than 100 years ago. They lived in Pleasanton, California. Even though they were only a town of 1,000, they felt vulnerable to an outbreak due to their location on the railroad. What always makes me chuckle is the cat. Did you see it? They put a mask on their cat as well, another beloved member of the family. Now, I'll leave it to the doctors and the veterinarians among us to decide whether or not that was necessary. In my limited experience with cats, I cannot imagine that mask stayed on for more than a few seconds. So what does Jesus say about this question? Is the world coming to the end? He speaks to the end of time quite a bit. Your preachers and your teachers think Jesus would answer the question like this: yes, don't panic, be active. Thanks for joining us, everyone. Have a great week. Go and get some lunch now. I'm just kidding. Let's unpack this. The disciples asked Jesus about the end quite a bit. They were genuinely thrilled. They had joy to know that the world was coming to an end. When we talk about the end, it's usually not that at all. We talk about doom and destruction and sorrow. That's not how the first followers of Jesus would have conceived this question or answer. It is very different than how the majority of us process this. So let's pick up the story in our Bibles in Matthew 24. The disciples have again asked Jesus about the end, and Jesus gives us one of his longest single teachings on the topic: is the world coming to an end? Let's begin in verse 6. And you will hear of wars and threats of wars, but don't panic. Yes, these things must take place, but the end won't follow immediately. Nation will go to war against nation, and kingdom against kingdom. There'll be famines and earthquakes in many parts of the world. But all this is only the first of the birth pains, with more to come. Jesus says yes, but not soon. There'll be famines and earthquakes, and we'd add pandemics. Yes, the world is ending. For us as Christians, we need to understand our scope of time. We live between two Advents, Jesus' first coming at Christmas and his second coming when the world ends. as we live in this in-between time and ride out the ups and downs, we need to hold on to the defining moment of our faith every single day, Easter, Jesus' resurrection from the dead back to life. In that moment, the power of sin is defeated forever. We see death defeated forever. In the Christian understanding, the end times began that very first Easter. The world has been ending for 2,000 years. Don't miss it. The world's been ending for 2,000 years. What was accomplished on that hillside began the process of this world ending and the arrival of the new heaven and the new earth that is nothing but life, flourishing life, abundant life for all time. Jesus' first advent, arrival as a baby, was quiet. Some people missed it. But Jesus' second arrival, the return, will not be missed. Heaven will crash into the earth, setting everything right, everything just once and for all, and life, abundant life, flourishing life for all time. You will not miss it. If nothing else today, it's time to adjust your view of the end that is all destruction and death and chaos. This is the absolute end of the world according to your Bible. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the old heaven and the old earth had disappeared, and the sea was also gone. And I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven like a bride beautifully dressed for her husband. I heard a loud shout from the throne saying, "Look, God's home is now among his people. He will live with them and they will be his people. God himself will be with them. He'll wipe every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death or sorrow or crying or pain. All these things are gone forever." Right there. That's it. That's the end of the world and the return to the beginning of something incredible. Friends, this is the end of the world and I really do feel fine. Thank you, REM. Is the world coming to an end? Jesus says yes. And he says, don't panic. So many people have predicted the end of the world since Jesus' day, and guess what? They've all had a 100% failure rate. From a German monk in the 10th century to 88 Reasons the World Will End in 1988 to its follow-up book, The 89 Reasons Why the World's Gonna End in 1989, to Y2K, so far no one has been right that the world will end. It seems that so many people over the years have simply forgotten what Jesus says in Matthew 24 about when the world will end and be made right. Let's pick it up in verse 36. "However, no one knows the day or hour when these things will happen, not even the angels in heaven or the Son himself. Only the Father knows. When the Son of Man returns, it will be like in Noah's day. In those days before the flood, the people were enjoying banquets and parties and weddings right up to the time that Noah entered his boat. People didn't realize what was going to happen until the flood came and swept them all away. That is the way it will be when the Son of Man comes." Not even Jesus knows when he will return. Only the Father knows. So if Jesus is content with leaving the details, leaving the date up to God the Father, we also should be okay with that. What Jesus gives people in the scripture is peace. It's what Jesus wants to give us today too. That's what he's trying to give the disciples in this section. Peace. Yes, the world will end at some point. There really won't even be any indication that it's coming. Wars, violence, rumors of wars, pandemics, people partying, having weddings, banquets, people living life. Now that shouldn't raise any anxiety in us, but should give us peace. That Jesus trusts God to handle the end, we can trust God, likewise, to take care of it. When we talk about the end times and we begin searching the scriptures to know what it says, we can interpret these passages like ancient obscure codes, like something was written in them 2,000 years ago that now God wants to reveal through some kind of hidden puzzle we must decode. There's all kinds of books on the market that purport to have decoded these puzzles and codes in the Bible to tell you for sure when the world's going to end. One of my New Testament professors put it like this: "End time scripture writings are not obscure, hidden puzzles that need to be decoded in order to be discerned for today. We need to understand what they meant to the original hearers, because what they meant to them is what they mean today." It's what we try to do really with all our biblical reading. Learn what it means, it's an original context, and apply it to our lives today. Jesus says, yes, the world will come to an end at some point, but it does not mean panic. You don't need to be alarmed or worried about it. We can leave all of our forecasting and worrying and anxiety behind. Jesus has got us. God has got us. We've got work to do in the present. We've got good news and the love of Jesus to share. We've got a job to do. Is the world coming to an end? Yes. Don't panic and be active. Jesus continues in Matthew 24. Two men will be working together in the field. One will be taken, the other left. Two women will be grinding flour at the mill. One will be taken, the other left. So you too must keep watch, for you don't know what day your Lord is coming. Understand this. If a homeowner knew exactly when a burglar was coming, he would keep watch and not permit his house to be broken into. You also must be ready all the time, for the Son of Man will come when least expected. We need to be active, to keep watch, to be about Jesus' business and work in the world, regardless of when the end will come. This passage is frequently used to lift up the sudden departure of Christians from the earth at some future point. That's not really what's happening in this passage. To be taken away then meant to be captured, to be tried, to be judged, and to be killed for your faith. That is what the followers of Jesus in the first century endured, and some of our brothers and sisters in the faith around the world still deal with that yet today. Jesus' point is to always be ready, to be active, to be about his priorities, his passions in the world, no matter if he returns at the end of time or at the end of our time, at the end of our lives. Being active in Jesus, it means at least two things. First, we need to be active in our relationship with Christ. It means to be shaped by Jesus as we worship together, as we pray, read scripture, serve, listen, grow, give, you name it. In all of those means, we receive the peace of Christ that Jesus was trying to pass on to his disciples in this section of Matthew. We are active. We keep watch like Jesus says. So when the end of time arrives or the end of our time happens, we're ready to be with God. We want to be able to say, I'm with Jesus when our end comes. Second, we need to be active in sharing the love of Jesus. John Wesley, one of the founders of the Methodist movement, was asked what he would do if he knew Jesus would return tomorrow. He said, I'd go to bed and go to sleep, wake up in the morning and go on with my work, preaching, meeting the societies, meeting people in their homes, and praying with them. I would want Jesus to find me doing what he had appointed and called me to do. Tomorrow or 10,000 years from now, we should be about sharing the love of Jesus in all that we do at all times. Sharing the love of Jesus means being obedient in our relationship to Christ and making his passion and priorities our passions and priorities. When you flip the page from Matthew 24 to 25, you get some examples of what it looks like to follow Jesus, knowing the world will end at some point. One example from the final judgment, at the end of all time, we see a clear distinction between those who inherit God's kingdom and those who do not. What's the difference? Then the king will say to those on his right, come, you who are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the creation of the world. For I was hungry, and you fed me. I was thirsty, and you gave me a drink. I was a stranger, and you invited me into your home. I was naked, and you gave me clothing. I was sick, and you cared for me. I was in prison, and you visited me. His followers say, we never saw you like that. Jesus replies, whatever you do to the least of these, my brothers and sisters, you were doing it to me. This is a part of sharing the love of Jesus. How can people see the goodness of God if they're hungry, if they're thirsty, if they're naked, if they're sick, or if they've not been visited in prison or as a stranger? They can't. So we must be doing whatever we can to share Christ's love through tangible acts of meeting the most basic needs. May we be active in sharing the love of Christ and be active in our relationship with Christ. Is the world coming to an end? Yes. Don't panic and be active. Jesus' message of peace to all of us is this: everything will be all right. even if it seems like it is all wrong. At the end of time, everything will be made right again. And in the meantime, Jesus wants to work through us to share his love to the world. Friends, everything will be all right, even if it seems at this moment like it is all wrong. No matter your past or your present reality, Jesus invites you to follow him. Jesus' call on you is so much more than just changing behaviors and beliefs. His call to you and me is to lay our entire lives before him, to come and to die. You're invited to come and to live life to the fullest in Jesus, so you can live like never before. So whether it's at the end of our time or the end of time, we'll be found to be in and with Christ. Mark Batterson, a pastor and an author, puts it like this. When did we start believing God wants to send us to safe places to do easy things? That playing it safe is safe. That radical is anything but normal. Jesus didn't die to keep us safe. He died to make us dangerous. Faithfulness is not holding the fort, it's storming the gates of hell. The will of God is not an insurance plan, it's a daring plan. And the complete surrender of your life to the cause of Christ isn't radical. It's normal. It's time to quit living as if the purpose of life is to arrive safely at death. Friends, it's time to quit living as if the purpose of life is to arrive safely at death. If you want to come and die to Jesus today, to live the full life in him like never before, say this with me with passion wherever you are. Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again. Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again. Let's pray together. Loving God, every day, but especially in the times we live, we need your peace. We need your peace and your wisdom so we can act and speak and move in the best way to draw others to you. May we not panic about the end of time or the end of our lives, because no matter what happens, we can raise our hand and say, I'm with Jesus. It's in our resurrected Savior's name that we pray together. Amen.